Okay, hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister, Kendrick.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Kendrick. Kix is not here today, but Kendrick will be joining me to break down this Halloween episode of the podcast. Thanks for being here, Kendrick. And first of all, course. If you don't know who Kendrick is, Kendrick is here all the time. Although it's been a second, I do feel like, right?
I don't even know when the last time I feel like I'm always on, but then I try to think about it. I'm like, when
I know.
Was the last time
I think
here?
It was pre-summer, honestly.
Oh,
I think it was like May.
Oh, you know what?
You did a Patreon recording, but you did a Patreon recording, but not a That's right.
And we did Big Brother, so
We did that too. But follow Kendrick at Reality and Comics 2. That is also the name of his podcast, where he covers all things reality TV and comics 2.
Yes.
So welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God.
Let's talk some shit.
Oh my God. This episode was. Oh my God. It was so fun because it was just like old school Housewives where there's like confessionals like just at a party like over to the side.
Right.
Yeah.
Like right next to a fire hydrant. It's amazing.
Yeah. So for just if you're catching this episode and you haven't been in the loop about what we're doing here, for the month of October for spooky season, every Sunday we are covering a different Halloween or costume party that's been on Housewives. And this one we get two costume parties out of, and right. I didn't even know that. Two Halloween parties in one. But this is season 2 of Real Housewives of New York City, episode 10. The episode is called Unfashionably Late. So if you want to watch it, pause it right now. Watch it, and then you can listen back. You can find it on Hulu, on Peacock, and you can also purchase it. Just invoice me and I'll Venmo you.
I was about to say, don't fucking purchase it. Just
no, you can find it places. I think you probably find it on YouTube, honestly.
Right, bootleg it.
But season 2 of Roni. Like, did you? I feel like I don't know this answer. I don't know the answer to this. What's your like Roni journey? Were you always watching from the beginning, or when'd you hop on?
So, you know, Atlanta was kind of my Bravo gateway. Like, I was watching that from season 1. And so from there, I kind of journeyed to the other cities. So I think I jumped on New York. Bethany was still there. Like, she hadn't exited for the first time yet.
Yeah.
So I think around, like, it was season 3 when Sonya came on.
Yeah.
I think that was my first, like, season watching, like, week to week. Oh God! I'm
season
old.
3. Oh my God! Same. That was kind of my first season watching week to week too. I watched season 1 and 2 like through marathons on Bravo, but my appointment viewing like sat on the couch and watched it was season 3.
Right.
But these early seasons are, I feel like, this like forgotten time capsule a bit. Like it's really good in like a different way because it's like they don't care, don't give a shit about Instagram. I'm telling y'all, Instagram is ruining reality TV. It is, but for both the fans, which we can get into that when the record button turns off, but also for our characters, because they're too consumed with what they're going to like do this season, like what product they're going to push. And even though in this episode we do get the beginnings of Bethany talking about Skinny Girl, which was kind of cool, she's not doing it because she wants to sell it on Instagram or because it's a platform for the show. She's doing it because she's like, this is my job. Like, I'm like trying to like become a like food and beverage maven.
Oh my, it's so like these episodes, like I've randomly been like rewatching like just random early seasons of episodes of like Housewives. And it's such a different show. Like, it's so weird that like it's entirely different. Like, you feel like you're really just watching people's lives, as opposed to like now it's really like storyboard from start to finish. Like, we got to get here so we can get to a girls trip. We got to come back to start a new storyline.
Yeah.
That storyline's got to go to the next girls trip, and then we can finally end with a costume party finale and go into the reunion. It's a lot. I mean, I don't get me wrong. Like, we have some amazing seasons nowadays. It's just an entirely different feel.
Yeah, we have good stuff going on here and there. But I say that the reason Potomac works today is because, like, they're still hustling. You know, they're not like they need the show, you know, and like that's why it works. Like that's why
they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah, sometimes when they got too much money, it's just like you kind of cap out. Like, did you hear that Erica makes $600,000 a season? Did you hear about that?
What's crazy is like me knowing like how much the Atlanta ladies make because you know their ratings were just Titanic for so long. Looking at that, I thought they were all around that amount anyway. Like, were they? What's the typical like not Atlanta paycheck for a housewife?
Well, I think that I had heard that Leah on her first season of New York got paid like $80,000, like something I didn't like hear that really much. Low. Yeah. Oh, you heard lower?
I think what I heard was like, I don't remember if it was $3,500 an episode or.
Wait, what is that?
Tom just wimps, right?
$3,500
me and math.
Episode.
Oh my god! That's
like $70,000, $3,500 episode ish. Because twenty episodes ish times 3,000 would be, that's a little bit more than that. I mean, but still, that's nothing. Like that's not a lot of money. You're on television.
Like, but we could make that. Like, get out of here. Oh, I know. Like, what are you doing?
And I'm worried. I wonder what that Potomac check looks like because I can't imagine it's high.
I imagine Giselle probably makes just because how much like Bravo loves her and how much they put her in stuff and you know chat room and all this kind of thing. I imagine she's probably the biggest check over there from Bravo.
You think her and Karen don't share the same amount?
No, I mean they probably like baseline neck and neck, but I just think they use her a lot more than they use Karen because I kind of feel like Karen. One of the reasons like she's so like into Instagram is because like, you know, she's trying to like make sure she's fan favorite and whoop it up and do like the shade. I got to be shade queen and stuff. Giselle on Instagram is an entirely different vibe. Like Giselle on the show is like shade after messy, but on Instagram, it's literally like, oh, here are my daughters. Oh, here's this. Like, I don't really care about what's going on Bravo, but yet Bravo like kind of puts her in everything.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what I don't really know why that is. I don't know. She doesn't like do it for me.
I love Giselle.
I know, but she doesn't have. I like her too. It's just interesting that they like because we have an episode coming out next week with Kai of the Real Housewives Orders.
Household Orders, yes, love
which
Kai.
Kai is hilarious and
oh my god, love.
And Kai was oh my god. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, Kai was saying that Giselle's like on billboards all over Canada because she's like the face of Hey You in Canada. Hey You is like how non-US people watch the Bravo shows. And she's like the face of it on every billboard.
I can believe it because like the YouTube in America, it's like her, Cynthia, and Andy.
Yeah.
Like after every video airs. And I'm like, go y'all. First of all, go Cynthia for for being the most slandered housewife for not doing anything. Being the face.
Can we talk about I could not stop laughing at the fact that in that Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip trailer, they like had no footage of her doing anything shady. Like remember in the beginning they were like showing like all these like old things that they've done like that were like shady or mean things they'd said. And hers, I was like, what is this scene? I don't even remember this scene with her in this like newsboy cap.
I don't even remember that. They didn't let me do it because I remember a shady Cynthia. Cynthia earlier seasons was so good, but she's become such a like, she let them pigeonhole her into being a voice.
Why didn't they at least show her kick Porsche off her on that boat? Remember that?
Oh my, my favorite like Cynthia thing ever is the season 7 reunion. Her and Phaedra were going back and forth at the reunion was the bet, like literally the time of my life.
Is
like,
7 there was, the Claudia Jordan season?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Wig was terrible, but yes, she gave, you know, a moment at the reunion.
Okay.
It was good shit. Go back and watch it, people, if you haven't watched it.
I haven't watched that one in a minute. Well, let's get into this episode. The party that we'll kind of like focus on is later. So we're going to kind of like chat about like the pre-party stuff. And we're kind of reminded about like what's going on in the Roni universe at this moment.
We're still reminded that Ramona has always been rude, in case you were wondering.
Always been so nasty and so rude.
Exactly.
So we open with Victoria and Luann. Victoria's home from school, and she's telling her mom about this wild store she found called Goodwill. She's like, "Mom, I found this wild place where you can buy two tops for $9." And Luann was like, essentially was like, "How dreadful."
You've never gone to the register with $9.
Yeah, she was like, "You've never spent $9 on something before."
She's like, "Well, no, not clothes. Like, all right, get out of here."
And then her haggling that jewelry man on the side of the street. I'm like, you don't haggle in New York. Like, that's not like a thing you do. We're not like in like a marketplace in Eastern Europe. Like, we're in New York. You're on the Upper East Side. You don't haggle people. Also, I find it. I have never thought. Like, the vendors on the streets, like, don't always have, like, stuff that's worth $180. I was like, they're scamming you.
He must have saw the camera. Because yeah. I can't imagine going up to it. Like, I've been in New York. I don't live there, obviously. But I've been in New York, like, I probably go, like, once a year. I've never had somebody tell me, like, literally, like, $20. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's outrageous. No. What are you talking about? So, like, get out of it. The moment that killed me, though. I thought that when he was like, "Well, I told you that one's 80. She's like, "Well, how much can you do this one for?" And she's like, "Can you do 100? He's like, "Yeah." She's like, "So how much can you do them both for?" I thought he was going to say like, 180. Like, what do you mean? Like, the price of that one plus that one. Like, I'm not haggling with you anymore. And she still walked off with it, which is kind of insane.
Well, she got him down to 150. And I was like, that's like not, someone's not doing the math right on that. Because that's way too cheap. We also get Kelly taking a little photo for her Halloween invitations. So this was Kelly's first season, and the women aren't really friends with her yet, because she ends up becoming friends with Jill and Luann eventually, and I think Luann and her are still friends today.
Wow.
Which baffles me, because Kelly is one of the weirdest cast choices we've ever had, I think.
I was about to ask you, what was your journey with Kelly? Like, were you value the chaos, or were you just like, what are you doing here? Both.
I value the chaos in season three a little bit more, because that's when we get Scary Island, and like, yes, that chaos is, of course, brings a lot of value to my life. Yes. But season two, she was so, like, I think she literally thought she was, like, SJP. She was just so self, like, indulgent. And, like, this whole storyline about her not wanting to put her name on this charity is, like, a huge storyline this season. And then she has that drinks with those, that drink, like, meet up with Bethany, where she's like, "You're up here and I'm down here." Which, by the way, is at the like trashiest bar in New York City. That part always kills me. I think Brass Monkey is where they go, and which is like down. It's not the trashiest bar in New York City. It's just not like a Roni. It's not like a place that like society women that she like claims to be go.
Right.
Like it's like this like place you go on your like 23rd birthday, like down and meatpacking for cheap drinks, like, and they have rooftops.
Exactly.
And it's fun. I've been so many times, but it always kills me that they're like, this is like the cool spot that they're gonna go and have this like meetup at. I'm like, Brass Monkey,
God, it looks so hot. Well, for some reason I always think about like how hot it must be while they're filming that scene, because yeah, I just feel like they're so like, maybe I don't know, maybe it's me watching it now, because I always feel like when people go into crowded places, I'm like, but maybe it's just my COVID head.
No,
like,
I thinking about. I get that phobia too, because I don't go inside much crowded places at all. So
me neither.
Well, can we talk about Jill speaking on the recession for the BBC?
I literally had to text you. During I know that you moment. Did. I was like this. I completely forgot about this entire moment. So when I watched this, I was like, oh wow, like this is the most what words do you use? Like, I want to say combative, but not even, I don't even know if it's combative. It's like
the interviewer was kind of like there to be like, you're part of the problem. Like, he was, yes, kind of like he was there and was like, you don't live a simple life, so why are you talking about like being frugal?
Yes.
And she's like, yes, I do. Like, I've always yes. been someone who lives within my means. And,
oh,
like,
my God.
And she kind of, like, drags poor people, like, on the recording?
It seemed like it, because she was literally just... It kind of seemed like he was, like, trying to, like, entice her to say something else. But she kept going down this, like, hole of, well, no. I get it. You know, we're all just kind of struggling. And he's, like, looking around her apartment like, are you, though?
We're
like,
on a show
are
right
you?
Now.
Right. Like, are you struggling? Okay. She's like, no. I get it. You know, I have to save a dime. I'm struggling so much. Oh, my God. And it's like, no, you're literally on a TV about how rich women operate in New York. So I don't really know. And you just bragged the previous episode about, what was it, not being able to buy like $70,000 worth of jewelry or something like that. Is just it's a modest birthday, so we're going, you know, we're getting a purse or whatever,
right?
$25,000. Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Like, you're not really. But also something I didn't even like really think about this, but like, what a crazy time to be filming this show. Like, 2008 was like an insane moment for a lot of the world. I mean, like. A lot of people lost everything that they had. And, like, what a weird time capsule this show is, where, like, we're watching these women who kind of are living scot-free from this, like, whole recession, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Alex and Simon are building a townhouse in Brooklyn, like, that's way over budget and so fucking ugly. And, like, Jill is like, what about Simon buying Alex that feed, like, sack dress?
It almost feels like, if you just like catch an episode of this show, it almost feels like they're just literally there to like walk through and be comedic relief, and then like we get back to the people actually like
they really were
show.
That like they don't even they didn't even have any scenes with anyone, really.
I don't think so. Like, they were just like literally out there. It wasn't until like she started like kitchen hives, and like people were like, okay, we got to see why she's breaking in the hives so often every time she has confrontation.
Oh, well, I love when she breaks
anybody
in the
New York.
It's so good.
I do too. It's the definition of good TV. I love it.
That's so good. In season three, she's like, I've come to deliver a message, and that message is that Bethany never wants to be your friend again.
She was so stressed out. Oh,
so
my God.
So stressed out.
Calm
but
down.
Simon buys her this burlap sack of a dress, and I'm not being hyperbolic. It literally is made of a burlap sack. And
absolutely.
The proceeds go, like, when you buy that sack, I guess the money goes to feed a child in some place or
they literally.
I don't know.
They literally emptied out the potatoes and then made a sack out of the dress, is what you're saying. They're going to feed them with the potatoes, I guess.
And then Alex is like, and I'm going to wear this to the opening night at the Met. And I'm like, this?
Oh.
This?
That's a choice.
This was like that era, though, where like celebrities on red carpets wore like tank tops that said like don't kill animals with like blood all over them, and like you know what I mean, and like the Mariah Carey like vote or die photo, you know, that picture.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
that's exactly
it's that era of like early 2000s, like where red carpets were statements. I feel like that's not really something that happens anymore.
No, like we literally like. AOC dominated like the airwaves for like a week because she wore that. What did it say?
Tax the rich.
Which
in itself was funny because.
Yeah. Went inside and then hobnobbed with the riches all night.
I love AOC. I thought that was a little weird, but.
Yeah.
Just because like the ticket price there is like $20,000. And your money just goes to like the exhibit. At the museum, right. And not that we can't keep. I of course want to keep the Met afloat, because the Met is like one
legendary.
Of the best museums in the world. But I don't know. It's like really.
You just would think someone would kind of like tap her on her shoulder, like, is that the way you want to go, or you know?
I don't know.
But no one did.
But also,
it's all right.
But also, do tax the rich. So
right. Hello.
Hello.
Don't text me. I don't have anything to
do. No, not me. but then, and speaking of Alex, we also got this like like jack-o'-lantern carving scene on their stoop in Brooklyn, and the cameraman zoomed in on it, but she had a full-on butcher knife, and she was like stabbing this pumpkin in her lap, cutting towards her. I was like, you're gonna cut yourself.
You're gonna die, literally. I feel like early Housewives sometimes gives me the vibes of, I think this is what normal people do, so why don't we give it a try? Like, yeah. That's what this scene kind of came across as. You know, they always say, like, oh no, we do this every year. This is our tradition. We carve pumpkins. We're just like you. But then they get there and they don't know, like, what the fuck. You're like, oh, you got to gut the pumpkin? Like, what do you mean? There's stuff inside of the pumpkin? Like, yeah. You didn't know that from your tradition?
You need a clean space to, like, carve a pumpkin. Like, you need a kitchen counter. Like,
yeah.
Like, not a stoop in Brooklyn. Like, it's, that sounds cute, but, like, right. There's so much messy parts of that whole thing.
That is also, like, a photo shoot for Vogue. Yeah. That's not like what you do in practicality.
Francois and whatever the weird fucking name children, what those kids, they're just walking around the stoop with knives.
Yeah, it's you would think that Bravo at some point would be like, okay, your kids are like gonna like kill themselves or you at this moment. Like, what's gonna happen?
I was like, what is like, happening?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Also, we got that Alex scene with Bethany where she drew that picture for her logo for Skinny Girl, which is interesting.
Okay, Alan. It was very interesting. I don't know if... is that... No, they didn't end up going with that, did they?
No. No, it's...
Okay.
The logo is her in the... Her, it's like a shadow, like a black shadow.
Right, that's what I thought. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of detail.
Well, no, there's drama in this season about it, though, because... Bethany decides to go with the other logo, but like doesn't navigate it well or tell Alex or something. And Alex gets really mad because she's like, I don't care. Like, but why did you not like, why did you not
just let me know?
Yeah. Also, this season has a really good finale where Jill has this huge party, this like Kodak, like the film, like the film sponsored event.
Why are you partnering with the dying brand?
And party? Ramona says, why are you partnering with a dying brand? And behind the scenes tea, what happened after the episode aired was that Kodak removed, like withdrew this like $1 million partnership with Jill Zarin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because of Ramona's goddamn mouth. She can't keep her mouth shut.
See, ruining lives since 2008. Yep. Good God. Jesus.
So we got two Halloween parties. The first one is this like charity party where it was something about dogs because everyone brought their dogs like in costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of tax the rich, Ramona is dressed as Robin Hood. Which it is funny. I'm like, Robin Hood is a weird costume because like the whole point of Robin Hood is like taking steal money from the rich and give to the poor. Yeah. And you're at this like high ticketed like event. Like, I don't think she's doing the math. And she goes, did you hear her go up to that woman? She's like, are you rich? Are you rich? I need money to give to the poor.
That is so, like, what a departure from now, like being on the show bragging about being in the 1% and will only date men in the same 1% that she is. Good Lord. Literally watching this, it made me realize a couple of things. So this is all your fault, by the way. Okay. But it reaffirmed how much I hate Ramona because, I mean, sure. That'll never change.
No.
But Luann, my God. Luann is just like, now is...
Well, we'll get to her costume, but...
Yeah, she's settled firmly into, like, I feel like I thought, I don't know if I had it in my head that she had, like, changed a little over the years, like became like the cooler person.
Yeah.
But she's really, I don't know how much, like I literally said your line during while I was watching this episode. I was like, it's not about you, Luann. Like, what are you doing? Like, good God. I feel like you should drop this story at some point soon, too, on a podcast.
I actually think she's kind of returning to form a bit. Like, I think she was this when she started, this like society woman, right? And then things are shifting. And then I think she's entered back into the same old Luann when the cabaret stuff started happening.
Yeah.
Because she's so like, you don't know you don't know how things work in showbiz, baby. This is how things go, and this is how we film music videos. This is how the business works. And it's like, that's not, no. But like, she has that, like, Bethany's a know-it-all, but Bethany's a know-it-all-ness. Oftentimes she's right when Bethany's, not now, but like in this dynamic, like she's right. A know-it-all, but she's genuinely like, right.
Right.
But Luann's a know-it-all about things that no one needs to know all about. Like about like who to say hi to when that's you enter perfect. A room, who remember the whole like, how dare you tell, how dare you tell my driver, my first name. That was insane. God. She's a lot.
Yeah.
We get a lot of screen time with Jill. Had this like gay best friend, and that was in all these episodes.
Mm-hmm. With a different, like, I feel like his suit's always like the jacket matched the pants, but it was never just like blue on blue. It was always like blue floral with like waves too, for some reason, like sea
he
flowers,
kind of wears
then,
that
like,
same,
the pants were the same.
He kind of wears that same outfit in every episode he's in,
like different colors, right?
Housewives period. Like it's always just like a colorful, like patterned suit, and he's always like making quips with the food. Like he's like, oh, is this dog food?
I feel like he gets so mad because Jill, like, first of all, Jill is going to breathe up every ounce of the air in the room. She's always going to do all of the talking.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's one of the people that, like, loves to, like, kind of be center stage. And so, like, having her doing all the talking in these moments, got like, God damn it. And I know I can't do anything about it because, like, this is clearly her show.
Right.
Like, I'm not involved in this. So I know it must be driving him absolutely crazy. Oh. But, hey, maybe he'll come back at some point.
I think he's probably fine.
He probably what?
I think he's fine. He gets to be on television. And,
oh my god! And I thought you said he probably died. I was like, oh
no, I don't think he's dead. Well, I actually don't know. I haven't checked in on him, but
I know we should.
We should. He never forget season four. He hangs around for a while. Season four of Roni, he like randomly is in Morocco when they're all there randomly. AKA Jill was like, "We're filming a vacay in Morocco. You should go, and we'll get you on camera."
Right.
He's just a kind of a Klingon, you know?
I feel like my like early Roni days knowledge, I feel like it goes back to like when Carol, Heather, and Aviva joined. So I feel like I need rewatch the
season
first four seasons. Exactly. It like goes back to that, but like the first four are kind of like big gaps. Like I remember like bits and pieces here. So I feel like I probably haven't watched those like maybe since they've, I've watched certain episodes since they've aired, but not many.
What I do, if I were you, I would just go, I would watch the season one reunion, because season one, I think it's good, but it is good actually, but it's like kind of filler. Like there's a lot of just like old reality TV. Like it's just not what it is now, but this season is really good. It has a lot of drama in it. Yeah. And the season two reunion was like legendary because it was the first time they did a two-part reunion in Housewives history. Cause they had never had that much to talk about. And Kelly really loses it in that reunion. And it really tees off season three, which I think season three is one of the best seasons of Housewives we have.
Yeah.
And it really holds up.
That's Scary Island.
Scary
and
Island,
everything there.
Where Bethany and Jill fall out.
That's a good, I've watched that reunion a few times.
The runway with Ramona and the bug eyes. also, that's where Ramona tells Bethany that she'll never find love because you'll never find a man because you're unlovable.
Jesus. Jesus.
What else happens? Alex with the hives, that happens that season.
Oh yeah. Is it the season where Kelly Ben Simone like tells them off on the boat but then can't get through the door?
Yeah, that's Scary
Was
Island.
That the same strip? Okay. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
It's
I don't
also,
know why I always remember that moment.
Also where Alex it's so funny. Also where Alex says, while you're in Manhattan, I'm in Brooklyn raising a family. but I digress.
Oh my god.
So we should get to the Halloween party that we are like chatting about today. So yes. Kelly is throwing this Halloween party at what appears to be like a corporate office?
Yeah, it's it feels like it gives the vibes of like one of those places where you know how like you don't want to like pay for your whole team to like stay at a hotel overnight, but you want to book the conference room in there. It gives that kind of feeling, like very DoubleTree.
Very DoubleTree. Like the elevators open into like the quote unquote event space, like it would into like an office. It's like really weird. It looks like one of them said it, but it really did look like a frat party.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't exactly
and
sure
that can be fun.
What was going on?
That vibe can be fun.
I mean, hey.
I'm not like hoity-toity here, but like it was supposed to be like it had a step and repeat, and then you get upstairs and it's this like dingy like office space.
Yeah,
and then I have to agree with them. I think a cash bar is so tacky. Like I would rather like I think what you should do is if it's something where like you're not gonna give everyone drinks, like BYOB. But then, like, throwing a party that, like, you're, like, inviting everyone to and they don't need to bring anything. They just need to show up. And you get there and you're, like, it's a cash bar. Like, what do I do? Like, I don't have cash. Like,
right.
How am I going to drink? And what's going on? And then also, I was very much on Jill's side where she was, like, I went to go get... I wrote it down, but she said, when I went to get a soda and it was a cash bar... I was pissed.
I love the fact that Bethany literally warned her like 18 times. Then she gets in her confessional and still acted like it was surprised when she got up there. Very Jill.
Very Jill. I was pissed that I couldn't get my I couldn't get my Coca-Cola, not diet. I want the regular Coke.
And people, I feel like people never tell you when it's a cash bar.
No,
either.
They don't. That's my
so
problem with this.
Annoying.
It's shady.
It's so shady. I hate it too. Like, I mean, I can't spend other people's money, but I hate it when you know you have like friends that like you know have been like rich their entire lives, and then you show up and it's a cash bar, and you're like, really? Your mom didn't. Like, okay, like I can't spend your mom's money.
At least do like beer and wine free, and then like if you want a cocktail, you have to pay for it.
Perfectly fine with me because I will knock the beers back. Like, I don't mind.
Yeah.
A little wine.
Yeah.
My stomach lets me mix. So,
there you go.
My stomach is kind of cast iron. So, like, I can go back and forth between like wine, vodka, and beer. Like, no problem.
Oh, and beer, that sounds like a nightmare right there.
Oh, it's
what
a whole
like. What are you sipping on tonight?
I have no idea, actually. So my, I believe my sister made me a drink and then brought it in here. That's who I like looked over and kind of slipped it to
sis.
Me.
She
just,
yeah, there?
She just came from, I have my little backdrop up now, but so you can't see her, but she's gone in the other room now, but she just came back from Gatlinburg. And so they have like a ton of like moonshine and wine, like wineries and stuff like that. So I think this is a flavored moonshine that is strong as hell. So
moonshine, you're going to be on a journey tonight. What are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, so I got to actually go across town. My cousin just moved 45 minutes away from me driving, which I know New York, I know y'all go.
But didn't they live so close before, like in the same like neighborhood or something like that?
Well, yeah, so that was another cousin. Oh, so God. I have another one that just like moved and they had a house built, which is like, I was going to mention earlier, like when Robin, we were talking about like Potomac people. And I was like, Robin's house, like, I feel like it's kind of reminiscent of my cousins. Like, and I feel like that's why this show works so well.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally like almost same.
Yeah, they're relatable.
I don't want to say income level, but they're like almost the same. Like,
Robin is not far income level off from all of us, I don't think. So,
right.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
I hope she gets those hats in the Macy's or wherever she's talking about, because I love that people are reaching out to her. I want her to be big. I'm a Rob supporter. You know this.
I know. I wouldn't hold your breath, though. we should get back to the party, though. The party. So the big drama in this party, though. Oh, wait. One other thing about the decor. Did you notice it was like, was it like wallpaper of bookshelves?
It looked, I had the same question.
Where are we?
I have no idea. I don't know what the hell is happening. Like it feels like now they wouldn't venture here anymore. This is definitely early seasons, Roni. I don't know if they're coming here anymore.
No.
Was Ramona at this party?
The Ramona was like not really in this episode, which is okay for with me.
I was definitely okay with it.
It's like, why did this episode land so easy for me? Oh, Ramona was in it.
Right.
So the drama here, obviously, is that Kelly is just not there. And we get, like, times. Bethany, like, breaks down the timeline. Like, I guess she showed up at 9:30, she said. And then mm-hmm. she said Luann showed up at 9:45. And then she said Jill showed up at 10. Which, I'm sorry, that is late. And I'm 30 years old. But, like, these women are, like, 40, 50. I'm like, that right. is late.
Super late. Showing up at 10? You know what? I kept going back and forth because did you have a problem with Kelly showing up late? Or was it weird that they were harping on it?
Oh,
where do you fall on it?
I think it's rude to hope. I think you should show up to parties late as if you're a guest. Because I think when someone sets a time for like a start time of a party, I think that means you should come 30 to 45 minutes later than that at the minimum.
Because right.
like
right.
There's no way in hell I'm going to be ready for you at 8 p.m.
Right.
So, like, when I throw parties, like, I always say, like, I'll say, like, 7:30 in the expectation that people will get here at 9.
Okay.
But I'm hosting it, right? So I have to be here at my house.
You're there.
Kelly's hosting it. And I feel like this party started at 8. And I think she got there at around 11:30.
Ooh.
Don't you think?
Okay, that's problematic.
Because think about it. Jill got there at 10. And mm-hmm. when they had left, cameramen, like everyone's gone. And she walks mm-hmm. in and there's no sign of any of these people anymore. Like, I think she had to have gotten there at 11, after 11. Because I bet you Jill was there for like an hour trying to wait for her.
Absolutely. So Jill, we're going to give her an hour because Bethany, they left at the same time, right?
Yeah, and Luann. Luann just left randomly. Did you notice that? Luann was like, I have things to do. Goodbye.
Right. She chunked them to deuces. She was like, no, I can't do this. Not with you peasants. It felt like, I don't know, I was weird watching it a little bit because I was like, well, it's a party. Because I didn't know, was this like a hosted event or was it just like a random party?
I think
like
it was a party throwing? Sponsored by a tequila. Because there was like a tequila step and repeat.
Okay.
Because she loves tequila.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what it was, but... Yeah, she. So they're like, they like jump ship. They're like, bye.
Which I probably would have done. When I think about it, I probably would have done too. I'm trying to think about like the circumstances. Cause if I had gotten there, I guess like, you know, you've gotten me out of the house, which is going to be hard to do in the first place.
Right.
But now I've showed up to this party. So I'll be there like, okay, let me, you know, try to enjoy myself. Let me talk to the other guests, whatever. Yeah. But I don't know if I'd necessarily be looking, especially if I don't like her, because Kelly's kind of, so right. I don't know if I'd be looking for Kelly, but I get it. Like, they're shooting a show, too.
They're shooting a show, so it's probably and they don't know anyone there. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's probably a whole nother element. So Bethany probably showed up not knowing anybody there, just kind of like sitting waiting for at least to be able to talk to the host and pretend like I like you because you, I don't know if you invited me, but your assistant did. So let me at least talk to you for a minute. And then Luann comes a little later. So, okay, I have one person to talk to now. I'd probably be gone by about 10:30.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say I showed my face and, oh my God, your event was so good that step and repeat was, I really stepped and repeated. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm okay now. That's all.
And you know that step and repeat was just so Kelly could take a photo of herself. And her
with the naked man. Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely it. No one else was considered.
I forgot about this. There's like a, I feel like this is like made into a meme a ton of times, but Bethany's dressed as Roller Girl and she's like outside and she's like, Kelly really thinks she's someone and this Roller Girl doesn't give a shit. And then they film her like skating home.
Oh my, like the weirdest. How far do you think she had to skate before she could finally get a cab?
I bet you she's... I could see her skating home. She didn't have any money then. And cabs are not fast, especially like on the Upper East Side. Ooh. It's so many stoplights. And she's probably not far from her house. She's like, I'll just skate home.
You know what? And she was real, like even more so into fitness then and, you know, like eating healthy and stuff then than now. So maybe. Man, but I guess it's kind of like... What's it called? Not karma, but it's kind of, it seems fitting that she left in like the same way that like Kelly Ben Simone exercises in the middle of the street. So why not?
Yes, it is very reminiscent of that.
Yes.
Well, Kelly arrives with her men, and she's a Playboy bunny, and she's like, "I had to keep it kind of classy because I'm a mom." And I'm like,
oh.
I'm like, here's the thing. Moms can dress like Playboy bunnies. I don't give a shit. But you're acting like you're like dressed as like a nun.
Right. Like literally a bathing suit.
Right.
Bunny ears, I think.
And
like,
there's,
yeah.
And there's all this drama this season because she gets asked to pose for Playboy. But then also like slut shaming other people. She contradicts herself like constantly. But
yeah. God.
Yeah, she shows up and of course no one's there. And she's like, "Where is everyone at my party?"
Like, this is just so rude. I mean, like, well, you showed up 4 hours late. So.
It was right. And it's also funny for her to be standing there in a group of 50 people being like, "No one's here."
Right.
It's like there actually are people here, but I know what you're saying. Your castmates aren't. So something we like to wrap up on our Halloween recaps is we like to just pick what we thought was the spookiest moment of this episode.
Okay.
And spooky can mean whatever you want. It can mean like it really legitimately scared you, or it was a little shady, or, you know, what would you say was the spookiest?
Oh, my spooky moment was probably watching Mario and Avery still be horrible people even back then.
Oh, wait, we didn't even talk about that scene yet. Avery was insufferable.
Oh my god, like the literal worst.
Oh god, she's awful.
Literal worst. Ugh.
I think the spookiest thing was seeing Alex McCord almost slice her like torso open on her front porch with a butcher knife.
While her child is like full on Chucky in the background with a knife running around.
Awful.
I mean, it's very Halloween Kills, I guess.
That was, oh my god, I'm watching it tonight. I'm so excited.
I think I'm going to come back and watch it too. I'm kind of excited about it.
Can't wait. Well, Kendrick, that brings us to the end.
Oh my god. That was like,
we flew.
Like that.
I know. Because we're usually here for, we've actually been here for like 45 minutes already though.
Oh, shit.
I know. I looked at my board and I'm like, oh, it's been 43 minutes.
Jesus. Well, look at us. Look at us.
Look at us go. We're professionals. Well, Kendrick, happy spooky season. Thank you for being here. And plug all your stuff.
Oh, God. Okay, so you can follow me on Instagram at Reality Comics 2. That's T-O-O. Check out the podcast. It's Reality and Comics 2, hosted by Kendrick Tucker. I'm going to actually do a couple of Halloween episodes, but it's going to be in keeping. Yeah, it's going to be super fun. Me and the guest, I won't tell y'all who it is, but it's going to be really fun. We're going to talk about some Batman stuff. So it'll be very good. I hope people check it out. I drop 2 episodes a week, every week. Usually Mondays are the reality TV episodes. And then Thursdays, I usually do a bonus episode talking about anything, comics or whatever Marvel TV show is out, or DC, whatever. So check me out. Rate me 5 stars. Rate Dumpster Dive 5 stars.
Well,
it helps
us
so much. Yes.
That helps us
get to 200.
Yes. Yes, please. And we're close to 200. Have you hit 200 yet?
No, I think I'm at like 180 maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
we're less, around the same way. Get us to 200, please.
Yes,
always.
The first 20 people that listen to this, they're probably big supporters. So
that's
you probably already done it. But get your mama to grab her phone and do it.
I always say when I see the numbers of the listens rolling, I'm like, someone's not doing the math right on this,
right?
Because not all of you are rating.
I try my hardest,
and I understand not everyone listens on Apple, but just download Apple and just do it real quick.
There you go. Like I feel like I try not to shade my followers, because they'll like randomly pop in my DMs and like, oh my god, I forgot, rated you 5 stars today. I'm like, oh, we've been like talking in DMs for like a year. Okay, but thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I've seen a couple of reviews come in. I'm like, I know who you are, and this feels quite late. But you can follow me at The Tom Hamlet, and you can follow the podcast at Dumpster Dive Pod on Instagram. We are 2 Dumpster Divas, the number 2 on Twitter. And next week we will be covering the game night episode from Real Houses of Beverly Hills season 2. So.
Oh God!
Watch that. It's on Halloween, but it's spooky, all right.
It's pretty spooky, though. Yeah,
it's a theme party. I feel like whatever, you know. We're pushing the envelope here with our not the envelope, pushing our definition of what a theme party is. So
But it's great because that was back when like Kyle was like way more overt with her and, messiness and mean. Opposed to, yes, very mean. Mean as yes. Fuck.
Yes. Well, say bye to all the listeners listening, Kendrick. Bye.
Bye.